I'm sure that you read The Diary of a Dog. Diary of a Dog. 8 o'clock. I wake up and stretch. My favorite thing. 8:30. My master feeds me a bowl of crispy nuggets with gravy. My favorite thing. At 9 o'clock, I ride into town with my master. My favorite thing. At 10 o'clock, he lets me run through the park. My favorite thing. At noon, my master and I, we settle down for a lunch. My favorite thing. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I nap by the fireplace. My favorite thing. At 3 o'clock, I take a little jolt out into the yard. My favorite thing. At 5 o'clock, supper with the fam. My favorite thing. At 7 o'clock, in front of the TV, Jeopardy with the fam, my favorite thing. At 9 o'clock, a quick walk in the yard, my favorite thing. At 9:30, into the kennel for a night's rest, my favorite thing. You've probably read The Diary of a Cat as well. Day number 928 of my captivity. My captors continued to torture me by dangling fuzzy things in front of my face. They torture me every day by giving me dry nuggets in a bowl while they themselves lavish themselves with meat and chicken and beef. The only thing that keeps me living is my hope to dart out that door. The Prayer Clinic, National Prayer Clinic, 2011. Here I am preaching to a bunch of guys who are serious about their faith. My favorite thing. My favorite thing. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful for the invitation for me to be here. And something I want you to know about me is that I love coaching. For the last 10 years, I've had a major part in coaching in Little League, and especially the coaching of my boys. And I love coaching. I love the concept of coaching. I love seeing guys get it, and then go with it, and then grow with it, and then give it to others. I love the concept of coaching. In fact, one of my conclusions about church leadership is much of church leadership is coaching. It's coaching all the way, helping people understand what the Bible says and putting it into practice in their lives. I want to welcome you tonight to the first session. I'm thankful for the privilege of being the leadoff hitter. But I want you to know that you are going to have, in the next 3 days, you are going to have several coaches come to you and coach you in praying. May the Lord bless the next 3 days. And I pray that when we leave here on Thursday, that we will leave totally assured that we're a few steps closer. Lord, coach us to pray. A few years ago, when I was into golf. Now, I say a few years ago because when kids came into my world, golf took on the back burner. In fact, I've only been golfing probably 10 times or 5 times in the last 10 years. It's not been very much. But when I was into golfing, a guy gave me a book on golf by Fuzzy Zeller. And the book was How to Improve Your Golf Game. I read the book. And I went to the driving range and I put into practice some of the suggestions that Coach Fuzzy Zeller gave to me as a coach. And I put them into practice. And I was amazed. My golf game improved 100%. And then I realized as my game improved, my enjoyment of the game improved. In fact, when I put some of those things into practice and improved 100%, I wouldn't leave the golf course so frustrated. I would actually leave the golf course anticipating my next round. I couldn't wait to get out there again because actually I started to enjoy the game. I have a suspicion that until you get help for your game, you might not enjoy it. And I want to suggest that until you get some great help for your prayer game, you might not enjoy it as much. I come to you tonight, and I would love for you to consider me a prayer coach. And you're going to hear some other coaches in the next 3 days. And I have two goals for my segment this evening. Two goals. First of all, I want us to see the significance of prayer. I just want to remind you of the significance of prayer. And then I am going to dive in, and I want to give you some very practical suggestions. In fact, they have been suggestions that I have received and I have put into practice in my prayer life. And I can honestly say, in the last couple of years especially, I have grown to love to pray. And I enjoy it. I enjoy my prayer time. Do you enjoy your prayer life? So tonight, let's look at the significance, and then let me give you just some very practical aspects that I know will help empower and improve your prayer life in the weeks ahead. Let's look at the significance of prayer. That you know that in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the text says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. I think it's interesting that of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them, they only ask him to teach them one thing. I mean, they could have asked him to teach them how to preach powerfully. They could have asked Jesus, teach me how to walk on water. They could have went and asked, teach us how to cast out demons. They could have, hey, would you teach us how to get to the next level in leadership? But the Bible reveals there was only one thing they asked him to teach them, and that was, Lord, teach us to pray. What does that tell us? That tells me that when they saw Jesus praying, they saw that he hungered for it. They saw that when Jesus prayed, it was feeding his soul, much like food would feed their stomachs. And he hungered for it, and he longed for it. And they realized that his power was connected to his prayer life. And they wanted it. Lord, teach us to pray. Would you listen just for a few moments on just some select passages on prayer? Listen to these. Ephesians 6, 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Ticked off at the Pharisees, Jesus scolded, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Mark chapter 1, 35, very early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 18, 1, then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Acts 2:42, you know this one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 6:4, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.
Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, with petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Colossians chapter 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray continuously. 1 Timothy 2, 1. I urge you then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled that you can pray. I don't know about you, but did you just get the idea that prayer is huge? Prayer is to be so important. In fact, guys, I want to suggest to you tonight that prayer needs to be more than a priority. It needs to be a lifestyle. A lifestyle. I want to suggest to you tonight kind of our team secret. I mean, as a coach, we're on the same team. And can I kind of just remind you of our team secret? And that is the most important aspect of continuing your faith is your prayer life. The most significant issue of the Christian life is prayer. Prayer is our personal talk time with the Lord. Prayer is when we invite God in on the scene of our life. It's when we ask Him to come be involved. The most significant issue for the Christian, prayer. Now, if that's true, why don't we pray any more than we do? Well, maybe we just need a little coaching. Lord, coach us to pray. For the rest of my time this evening, I want to be very practical. Very practical. In fact, I want to dive in. I want to just share with you several personal practical practices of prayer that you can just put into your life. And I think putting these into your life is going to take you to the next level, in fact, to a place where you would be able to say, I enjoy my prayer life. Some things that have worked for me in the last couple years, and I'm really thankful to be able to share them with you tonight. Now, I have asked that the Lord would be present this hour, be present this prayer camp, and come alongside of me and to come alongside of you and kind of nudge you with one of these practices you need to hear. In fact, I want to challenge you, at least have one of these practices you're going to go away with and put into practice, or if not all of them. But I'd love for you to listen for the Lord's nudge. Get this one. You better get this one. So listen for the Lord's nudge. I want to be very practical. In fact, I personally believe that if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. I mean, I don't care if it's your sermon, if it's a lesson, if it's what your doctrine, if it's not making its way into your life to change your life, it's not spiritual and it's not good. So let's do something to put into practice that will actually change our prayer lives starting this week. Guys, can I start you this way? Would you not forget the KISS rule? Keep it simple, silly. Now, I've always said keep it simple, stupid, but Mom said never use that word, and especially from the pulpit. So keep it simple, silly. Simple. Prayer is designed to be simple. And when I say simple prayer, can I encourage you just to go to the Lord simply with what's on your heart? Don't go to the Lord with what you think should be on your heart. I really don't like it when my kids give me an answer they think I want to hear. Simply go to the Lord with what is on your heart. We're expected to go before the Lord with ourselves, warts and all. So just keep it simple and just go with what's on your heart. Keep it simple, silly. Can I encourage you, just another really practical thing is kneel. Literally. Find times when you can literally get on your knees and pray. Now, just getting on your knees, is, by the looks of some things, is going to increase your prayer life automatically because it might be a while before you can get back up. But literally, get on your knees. Getting on your knees is, you're vulnerable. You're defenseless. You're helpless. Kind of indicating and illustrating to God, you're desperate for Him. There's just something about getting on your knees. And I would love to encourage you, hey, build some of that time in. I know you pray. How about on your knees? When I grew up, I was taught the acrostic acts. You know the acrostic acts for prayer? Acts, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration, right? C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S, supply. Right? Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supply. I have used that acrostic for years. Just kind of going through that. You know, I don't even know what to pray. Let me just go back to the old faithful acts. I have changed acrostics lately that has kind of renewed some energy. Can I give you a new acrostic? The acrostic is chat. C-H-A-T. Because I believe prayer is chatting with God. It's talking to God, right? So let's chat. The C stands for confession. Sometimes I like just starting with confession. You know why? It's really hard for me to jump into praising of our God when I feel like a dirtbag. Is that hard for you? I mean, that's hypocritical for me, just to jump into praise of our God when I, yeah. Don't you love 1 John 1:9? If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful. Confession, chat. The H in this new acrostic is honor. H stands for honor. Now, I want to pray that actually everything I do would honor the Lord, right? But I also want to pray in a way that will honor the Lord. I know from Scripture that when I pray His will, it honors Him. I want to praise Him in a way that honors Him. I don't just want to keep it general. Oh, I praise You, Lord, for who You are. How about if I be specific about that? And really honor Him with my prayers. So I start with some confession. But the H stands for honor. The A is, that's the ask. And I ask for things about, for my family, for myself, for my ministry. I ask for things for other people that I know their needs. And I pray for other people. And so I ask. And then the T, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Guys, fill your prayers with thanksgiving. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Remember Philippians 4:6? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I am convinced that God loves to hear thank you. Thank you. How about this one? I call this one breath prayers. Breath prayers. Breath prayers are prayers that you can pray in one breath. Oh Lord, there's Bob. I know that he's really hurting because of his wife's illness. One breath. Maybe there's something that you're wrestling with inside, just a prayer that you can pray in one breath. I call them breath prayers. Just filling your day with breath prayers as you do life on the run. Filling with breath prayers. Prayers where you can just utter in one breath. I love breath prayers. Here's one of my favorites. I call them drive-by prayer shootings. Drive-by prayer shootings. If I drive by somebody I know, whether I see them out on the sidewalk, see them walking in the yard, I want to pray for them. I'm training my life. When I drive by somebody I know, I pray for them. Whether it might be their place of work, even if I drive by their place of work, I shoot a prayer for them. If I drive by their residence, I want to train myself to be in prayer for them. Now, if they see me, I've also developed this wave. That's my drive-by prayer shooting wave is, you know, up there and I'm pointing at you. I see you, pointing at you. Now, they may or may not know what that wave means, but I just shot you a prayer. Drive-by prayer shooting. I don't know if you're like me. I got a lot of windshield time. Drive-by prayer shootings make it really interesting. And, you know, put the wave to it. Just helps you remember. Have you ever just sat down with your Bible and prayed through Scripture? I love this. Just pray through Scripture. I was on a plane one time to go to a meeting, and we were delayed while we were on the plane. We're delayed taxi. And I got my Bible out, and I turned to Psalm 23, and I said, you know what? I'm going to pray through Psalm 23. It is such an awesome passage. It should be used a little bit more than just funeral time. I didn't get through verse 1. I prayed for an hour straight trying to pray through Psalm 23, and I didn't get through verse 1. And I just prayed about every word. The Lord is, present tense, my shepherd. I shall not want. I mean, I just prayed about what all those words mean. And I woke up, you know, looked at my watch. An hour later, I haven't got through verse 1. Have you ever just prayed through Scripture? It's fantastic. Raise your hand. You're a preacher in the crowd. Preaching every weekend, typical. Hey, try this. Saturday afternoon, set like your last hour. Saturday afternoon, just pray through every paragraph of your sermon. Every thought of your sermon. And tell me what happens the next day. Your sermon, your preaching just went to the next level on Saturday. Just pray through your message. Try it. Pray through your sermon. Here's one of my favorite. And I want to encourage you to be creative with this one. This one I call prayer prompts. Prayer prompts. The Apostle Paul said, writing to several churches, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, he wasn't praying for them nonstop. In fact, I doubt if he was remembering them nonstop. But every time he remembered them, he prayed for them. Something would happen. Oh, he started thinking about somebody and he prayed. Can I encourage you to put some prayer prompts in your life? Now, you can be very creative with this. I love my prayer prompts in my life. A prayer prompt is something that comes up in your environment that you've assigned a prayer task with. It comes up and it's just kind of a time to pray. Much like the fuel light on the dashboard of your car. When that thing goes ding and pops up, what's it mean? You better get gas soon. And so when you see a prayer life that you've built into your life, it's just a ding, time to pray. Can I give you some of my prayer prompts? Just to get you started. My watch has a chimes setting. And so I can set it to go off every hour. So every top of the hour, 7 o'clock, beep, beep, 8 o'clock, beep, beep, 9 o'clock, beep, beep. So every time I've programmed my brain, every time my watch goes beep, beep, It is a signal in my brain, time to pray. And I have specifically said to myself, every time I hear my watch go beep beep, I'm going to pray for my kids about whatever they're doing that moment. I've got four kids. Beep beep. I think about what where they are and what they're doing, and I want to pray for them. Just a prayer prompt. Beep beep. I'm a Jeep man. I drive a Jeep. I've always loved a Jeep. I've always tried to drive a Jeep. Right now I drive a four-door Jeep Wrangler. And every time I see a four-door Jeep Wrangler, it triggers my mind to pray something really specific about the church where I preach. We had a financial campaign about 3 years ago, and every time I see a four-door Jeep Wrangler, it triggers, I'm praying for the success of our campaign. Now, I would love to recruit you on the spot that every time you see one of those four-door Jeep Wranglers, hey, just pray for that preacher from Delaware. Yeah, you forgot his name already, but just pray for that preacher in Delaware. That would be awesome. Prayer prompt. Let me give you a couple more. A water fountain. You know, a water fountain, or maybe there's a pond or a pool of water, and there's a, you know, there's a spray going off in the middle. Just water fountain. There's like three or four that I pass almost every day that I go into town. And a water fountain triggers me to pray this prayer, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said it's going to be eternal, welling up in you into eternal life. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, welling up. And the welling up means splashing around, sloshing around, going crazy, just getting everybody wet. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Then I'm just welling up on everyone. And every time I see a water fountain, I pray Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just a prayer prompt. A church building. I was amazed on my way here, 460, how many church buildings there are on 460. And every time I go by a church building, that's my prayer prompt to pray for my next sermon. I mean, in my own area. I drive by church buildings every day. And it's a prayer prompt to pray an extra prayer for my upcoming sermon. The next sermon coming on, just a prayer prompt. Church building, I'm praying for my sermon. I live 20 minutes from the beach. I live in, you know, just outside of Lewis, Delaware. Lewis is right on the Atlantic Ocean, in the Rehoboth Beach area, in the Dewey Beach area, in Ocean City area. I live really close to the beach. I take Mondays off, and my family and I enjoy going to the beach every Monday. We love going to the beach. But there's some distractions at the beach, as you might imagine. And one of my prayer prompts, a two-piece bikini. Now, when I see a two-piece bikini, my mind goes of one of two directions. Now, you already know the one direction, and it tends to want to go. We can't afford that, right? When I see a two-piece bikini, I have committed my mind to pray for my wife and my daughter. The purity of my daughter. The protection of my wife. I don't know when's the last time you went to the beach. There's a lot of prayer opportunities at the beach. McDonald's. Every time I pass by a McDonald's, it is a prayer prompt for me, because in the church where I serve, there is a gentleman there who owns six McDonald's in our local area, and he's a tither. And when I pass McDonald's, I pray for this man and his family, and I pray for more and more success for this man because he's a tither. But I pray for his family. When I see McDonald's, I associate a prayer for him and his family. How about local stickers? Do you have local stickers around here? There's little oval stickers people put on the back of their bumpers, and you know, I guess around here it might have a big G in it, stands for Grundy, or a big V, Van Zandt, or in our area, M is Milton, a L is Lewis, RB is Rehoboth Beach, a BB is Bethany Beach. Every time I see a local sticker in our area, I have trained my brain to pray for the evangelism of Sussex County, Delaware. This the evangelism of our county. Just a simple prayer prompt. I see a sticker. I'm praying for our county. How about this one? How about worry? I mean, when worry starts to well up inside your gut, you know what it feels like. And sometimes you start to feel and you're like, what am I worried about? Oh, yeah. Oh. Maybe worry is designed by God to be a prayer prompt. Maybe it's God saying, hey, this is something, it's time to pray. You better pray about this. Well, what if we treat temptation the same way? Oh, I'm being tempted. I can sense it. There's the trigger. Maybe that's a trigger from the Lord. Time to pray. You better pray. You're not going to make it unless you pray. Pray. Can I encourage you to use prayer prompts? Just associate something you know is in your environment, trigger it to something that when I see this, I'm going to pray about this. Prayer prompts, I think, have been the best thing that's changed my prayer life in the last 2 years. And I can honestly say prayer is a blast when you fill it with prayer prompts. Here's another one I like to call the credit roll. Have you ever watched a movie to the end? I'm kind of getting up there in age. I don't tend to see many movies all the way full. I don't know why. Anyway. Do you ever watch a movie to the end? What happens at the end? The black screen comes up and the white letter, the credits roll, right? And they're giving credit to everybody and everybody who helped and everybody performed the wardrobe and put lipstick on the lips or whatever. Yeah, everybody's getting credit for something, right? How about you do the credit roll? Even tonight, when you lay your head on your pillow, what if you just go through the credit roll for the day? Just review things about your day, that day. Lord, thank you for. Lord, this happened. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Lord, thank you for this. Oh, remember this at lunchtime? Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Now, I'll be honest with you. I try to do the credit roll quite often. My head hits the pillow. All right, I'm credit roll. And I'll be honest, I don't make it to the end of the credits. I fall asleep maybe after 8 to 10 credits. But can you think of a better place to fall asleep than just thanking Jesus? The credit roll. I love the credit roll. I'm a list man. I have to have a list, a to-do list. Every Sunday night, I sit down, do my to-do list for the week. Well, on my to-do list, I always have a top 10 prayer list. It changes every week. Top 10 prayers for this week that I just want to, every time I look at my prayer list, I want to review. I want to talk to the Lord about these top 10 things, pressing things. Maybe you're a list person. Keep a top 10 prayer list. Can I encourage you guys to use prayer as a conversation piece? Hey, maybe you see a brother, maybe you see a sister throughout the week. What if you just said, hey, tell me what you're praying about lately? What have you been praying about lately? What are some of the top needs to pray for? What can I pray for you? Hey, what if you just use it as a conversation piece? I guarantee that conversation is going to stir up some spiritual maturity. What have you been praying for? What can I pray for you? I love taking a prayer walk. Man, we need to get outside a little bit, especially when the weather's nice. Just get outside, take a walk, and just pray. Have you ever taken a prayer nap? Just lay down, just start praying. All right, you need a nap anyway sometimes. You know, a little prayer nap. All kinds of ways. Here's one that I've really had to struggle with, and I call it the Wonder Boy. Do any of you find your minds wandering away while you're praying? All the time. There's something about prayer that kind of pushes my brain into what maybe a spiritual ADD or something. I don't know. I start to pray. 10 seconds into it, my prayer. 10 seconds. My mind's wandering on something. Now, it used to be I would feel really guilty about that because I failed. I'm 20 seconds into prayer. My mind's wondering about something else. And I fail. I can't pray. I'm a failure at prayer. And, well, I don't like doing things I fail at. So if you don't like doing things you fail at, guess what you stop doing? You stop praying. But what if maybe your heart is telling you to pray about what your mind is wondering about? Could it be used maybe as a tool to even enhance your prayer? Maybe you need to catch yourself, oh my goodness, my mind has just wandered over to here. Well, maybe it's your heart saying maybe you ought to pray about that. Here recently, I was in a time of prayer. I was praying and conversing with the Lord, and it wasn't, I know it wasn't more than a minute into it. I found myself in an anger fest with a brother at church. And I was winning. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be praying. How in the world did I go from talking to the Lord into an anger fest with my brother at church? And maybe that was the Lord's prompt. I think you ought to pray about this. Recently, I caught myself in a time of prayer. I mean, I should have been praying. I meant to be praying. And I was fantasizing of this grandiose achievement. How did I get? And maybe the Lord wanted me to pray about that. So instead of feeling like a failure, maybe we ought to use it as a stepping tool to the next thing we ought to be praying about. That thing's on my heart. How about gap praying? I love gap praying. Do you remember Acts chapter 10? Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter, he's waiting for dinner to be fixed, and what is he doing? He went up on the roof to pray. What do when we're waiting on dinner? We flick on the tube. We check our email. We get to the internet. What if you use your gaps to pray? Maybe you're waiting in the line at Walmart, because I always choose the longest line at Walmart. Maybe you should pray. What about at a stoplight? I had a guy in my congregation say, Mark, when you find yourself at a stoplight, would you use that as your prayer prompt for me? A red light. When you're in a red light, will you pray for me? Okay, sure, I could do that. What if you fill your gaps with prayer? Now, I'm hoping that you're concluding something right now. I'm hoping that you're saying something to yourself like, wow, preacher. Wow, coach, it sounds like you want me praying all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. And here's what I've learned. With the use of drive-by prayer shootings, with the use of prayer prompts, with the use of these other things I've shared with you tonight, I can see how you can get to the point where you can be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing. Preparing for this message, my wife Angel said, hey honey, what are you preaching at the prayer clinic? And I said, well, I'm going there as a coach, and I am going to talk about prayer coaching. And my wife said to me, I wish I had a prayer coach. Guys, I bet your wife wishes she had a prayer coach. Your kids need a prayer coach. Your church needs a prayer coach. Our world needs a prayer coach. I hope you'll leave ready to coach. Not too long ago, I heard of a gentleman who was put into a nursing home. And his daughter and her husband and their children would go visit him in the nursing home every Sunday afternoon. And so every Sunday afternoon, this older gentleman would be in this certain room just waiting for his daughter and her family to come visit every Sunday afternoon. After the years kind of went by, his mind really got so feeble. In fact, he really had a hard time even remembering the children's names. In fact, his mind got so weak and so frail, he couldn't even remember where his room was. He had just had the hardest time finding his own room. On one Sunday afternoon, they were visiting, and he was really bad. And his daughter said, "Hey, Daddy, do you know what day it is?" And that older gentleman had no idea. Had no idea. And his daughter said, "Daddy, how did you know today was Sunday? How did you know to meet us today?" And he said, "Honey, I wait for you every day." Yes, he does. Our Heavenly Father waits every day, every moment of every day. And I have a feeling he would say to you tonight, his favorite thing is that moment during the day you start a conversation with him. Lord, coach us to pray.